Hi, this is Circe Olson-Wessner. I'm the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Tejeros, New Mexico, and this is our podcast, At Ease. It's April and the month of the military child, and we're doing a bunch of podcasts with brats. In this podcast, I'm pleased to introduce a group of women who have started producing a quarterly zine, Circa. I think all of us in this group, and I include myself in this, have military family connections. We're brats or spouses, military siblings, federal employees. So I'm going to introduce my friends. I call them the Salinists. They're the team that have conceptualized and created Circa. And so in this group, there's Wynn, Barb, Jenny, Natalie, Michelle. So hey, welcome.
Hello.
Okay. So I want to start with Barb, who is the art and technical editor for Circa. Barb, I know you're a military brat and a military spouse. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay. Well, I was born in Clovis Air Force Base, New Mexico. We moved every 3 years until finally we landed at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque when my dad retired. Military life has given me a chance to experience living in at least 9 different states and a couple of other countries like Japan and Saudi Arabia. I have 2 grown sons, 3 children, 2 dogs, 2 parakeets, and a husband.
Oh, in that order, huh?
Well, actually, it should be reversed.
So how did you get into graphic arts?
Well, I started doing art when I was very young. After high school, I self-apprenticed to local artists studying oil paint, painting, watercolors, and calligraphy here in Albuquerque. And as soon as computers became available, I jumped right in and I taught myself how to do graphics through all the programs that were available at that time. Now I use Adobe. I've worked as a graphic designer and artist for several firms. I do illustrations. I work for newspaper ads, magazines, web design, and I've even published educational books.
Wow. I just saw some of your new stuff and it is fascinating. You do calligraphy, like certificates from scratch for dentists and physicians. It's pretty amazing. You have to have a steady arm. You have to have a steady arm for that.
Yeah.
No sneezing while calligraphing, huh?
That's right. No sneezing.
So I know people, our listeners, will want to know how the magazine came to be. And I guess I should explain at this point that we're calling it a zine because it's less structured than a typical magazine. I had originally envisioned a very homey feel, kind of, you know, photocopies and, you know, running off stuff. But because of the professionalism and the talents of this group of people, you guys, we've taken the word zine to a whole new level. And Barb, you and I worked on the very first concept of Circa before we reached out to the others in the group. And so I wanted you to describe to our listeners what Circa feels like.
Yeah, okay. Well, since I've always worked in publishing, one of my desires was to do something special, different, without that commercial look. And when you mentioned doing a zine, I thought, wow, that just might be what I need. And I do agree, homespun and down to earth is the best way to do things these days because everything is so, like I said, commercialized. So I jumped on board with you. And to me, Circa embodies the word harmonious, like a symphony. Each of us plays different notes and instruments and we put it all together and it comes out to this really beautiful work of art and writing. So Circa is what I learned growing up. And that means that we experience different peoples, religions, countries, and getting along despite all of our differences. So this collaborative actually proves that harmony is possible through creative venues. And it's a model sorely needed in today's culture.
And so what is your role with Circa?
Well, I, as a graphic editor, I'm also the designer. I create the structure and design of the magazine pages. I'm keeping everything into a seasonal theme. I use complementary art and clips to match the writing, including my own original artworks. I also design ads for social media so that we can get the word out about Circa. We're looking into creating Circa name products like t-shirts, cups, hats, and more. And my articles that I write, there's several pages, is from a Christian and spiritual perspective to include all religions. It's called The Pathway Pages, about gifts and creativity, growth, grace, and gratitude, and celebrating creativity. So those are my articles.
Well, and I have to mention that you also have a degree in counseling and military resiliency, and your training has come quite in handy as we have taught ourselves the ropes of magazine creation. It's been a huge learning curve for all of us and pretty stressful. So thank you for your military resiliency training. It's helped us all get through this. It does get easier though. The second issue is out and it seems to be having flowed much better.
So, yes.
Yeah. So I'd like to introduce another team member at this point, and that is Wynn. And
hi there.
Hey, Wynn is a physician assistant and a nutrition fellow. And our listeners may remember you've been on the podcast before with our video series on diet and healthy nutrition. I think that was last year. So in addition to writing some nutrition and general health columns for Circa, you write other columns, including one on urban wildcrafting. So can you explain to us what the focus of that column is and how did you get into urban wildcrafting?
Urban wildcrafting is a lot of fun. I got into it just, I think, from my parents. You know, being an immigrant and coming from a country where they actually just pick the food where they lived, you know, coming to America where you, if you don't have a garden, you pick your food at the grocery store. And so it was nice to kind of get back to literally my roots, pun intended. And so I really love the ability to get different nutrients that show up at different times of the year, which is really nice with urban wildcrafting. So, you know, my last article, I had one on mushroom hunting and then one on bamboo and berry picking. So, and there's so many things that you can do to add to your pantry that really adds flavor and nutritional value. And so that's where I find it to be really interesting and fun. And it's kind of fun to hunt for things.
So what do you want Circa readers to take away from your health and nutrition columns?
Well, I have really good genes in that I've got one grandmother who passed away at 100 and another one who was 92. And so I always say that my goal is to live to be at least 100. And my hope is with the health and nutrition columns to help other people to age, you know, in terms of having healthy aging and making sure that I'm around to bug my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I hope that's true for everyone else as well. And with my medical background and my nutrition education, what I'd like to do is make sure that the nutrition and health information that you get is very science-based so that it's not the latest fad this or fad that. So I think it's helpful to have all of that in one place. And the next article will be about healthy aging, but talking about skincare.
Oh, well, we all need that. We have skin.
It is the largest organ in the body, so we do need to take good care of it.
So Wynn, you also write about intergenerational wisdom and you do book and movie reviews, culture, anything else we throw at you. You blog. What's your blog called again and where can the people find it?
Sure, it's called Tell It Slant Mama at wordpress.com, and it's based on a line from Emily Dickinson, a poem by her about telling the truth but telling it slant, which I thought was kind of fun, given my Asian American background.
Okay, awesome. And so I will put that URL in underneath the notes so that our listeners can hear it and we'll find it rather. So our next team member is Jenny, and she writes some of my favorite sections in the magazine, namely about the Southwest and the Code of the West. But again, you know, we team members switch off and we write different columns for each issue. So Jenny, in the summer issue, you write a lot about your grandmother and her unusual upbringing. If someone were to buy the summer issue, what would they learn about your grandmother?
Well, she was somewhat of a flapper back in the 30s, but she was the daughter of a Methodist minister, and they lived in many small towns in the Southwest around the turn of the last century. It was a time when the minister's entire family contributed to the ministry, and they went through a lot of adversity too. My grandmother weathered that adversity while maintaining a really positive outlook.
Well, you know, that's what the greatest generation.
And I agree.
Yeah. So in addition to writing about the Southwest, you also do a column called Sermon from the Couch, which is an eclectic mix of spirituality, reflection, and, well, how would you describe it?
Well, I tend to be on the silly side, so it definitely has a silly aspect, but it is based on my belief. And at the core of my belief is God is love. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage intentionally keeping love at the core of all of our interactions with people, nature, the core of what we do.
Well, very cool. You also have a blog. It's called It's Me Taylor. What is the focus of that blog and what's the URL for it?
Celebrating family and nature with a little bit of silliness thrown in. And it's a pretty easy URL. itsmetaylor.blog. No punctuation, just itsmetaylor.blog.
Oh, that's cool. I will put the everybody's podcasts in these notes so people can find them. Plus also the links to the first two issues of Circa. So Jenny, Wynn, Barb, and I all met at the VA hospital in Albuquerque, and we've been collaborating on arts and literary projects for years. You know, it's kind of cool how military families are used to doing work from multiple places around the world with other people who are maybe not even the same location. In fact, Barb's done the cover designs for two of the museum's first anthologies. One of them was called From the Front Lines to the Home Front, New Mexicans Reflect on War. And then there was a follow-up book called War Child. And both Barb and Wynn wrote memory pieces about their experiences with war as children. So I will put the links to those two books also in this. Boy, this is becoming just a link-heavy podcast. So Natalie and I met at the museum while working on Lines Across Time, which was a project involving a phone booth, and then also a mini documentary called Love Song for the Dead. And then Natalie joined the museum's Veteran Family Community Collaborative, and she's been very active with us in the museum on that side. Natalie's a psychologist and she works with both children and adults. So, hey, Natalie, welcome.
And hi.
Hi. I know I was talking about you in the third tense or whatever. So what kind of articles are you writing for Circa?
So I'm writing articles based off of my professional and my personal background. You know, I think the one article that I'm most proud of is, you know, that I'm writing columns about raising spiritual children, which is near and dear to my heart, you know, raising my own children and, you know, that in that type of environment. And particularly, you know, for us, it's a Catholic based. And so we're, you know, living, you know, based off of the Catholicism model. Mm-hmm. But also teaching my children to welcome every religion, you know, in all walks of life. But, you know, there is a certain dynamic, you know, raising children in this day and age and really trying to give them some of those spiritual foundations. Mm-hmm. I've also been writing about different virtues, something that we word as, you know, Moxie and Mojo is the way we titled it. And really people looking to find what their own gifts are. And, you know, how they can find some sort of meaning in that and find, you know, to where they can fulfill their life and find a specific meaning in their life and just they can relate that and apply that into, you know, how they live. And then I've also been writing about something that we word as sweet virtual is what we titled it, vitriol, excuse me. And really talking about the challenges of life and how you can overcome that, you know, how we can work through those things and, you know, really, again, able to really base it off of my, you know, background of the work that I do and just seeing people in different walks of life and different stages of development as they go through that.
Well, I know you don't have a blog yet, but I imagine you're going to get one with all of us getting blogs.
I would imagine that as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just one of those things. You've been very busy working with our Veterans Family Community Collaborative podcast, talking about mental health topics and also the process of writing as healing. And I know that Michelle joined us on one of those podcasts as well. You do a lot of work with children in the Grief and Loss Center of New Mexico. And I imagine that with the COVID pandemic, you've had to help many families deal with grief and loss. And so what is one thing you can suggest for parents to explain to a small child who is grieving the loss of a loved one?
You know, one thing that I like to remind adults is, you know, when you're working with children and adolescents, even, you know, they don't always grieve. Nobody grieves the same, not even adults. And so I like to remind them that, you know, they need to allow them to grieve in their own ways. So, you know, many times we think kids are going to walk into a room and, you know, verbalize everything of how they feel and what they're thinking. And, you know, as my son reminded me, you know, 10 years ago, when he first walked into the grief center, is that when he walked in there, he didn't know what he was thinking or feeling. And he didn't even know how to begin to understand it. And so when kids are grieving or adolescents, you know, let them do it in all sorts of ways. You know, let them do it through artwork, let them do it through music, let them do it through creativity, through projects, you know, whether that's indoor or outdoor projects. You know, let them do it with hands, hands-on activities, you know, and maybe journal writing. A lot of, you know, that's, you know, usually females, you know, girls really like to do a lot of journal writing. The younger ones, they really like drawing, you know, let them express it through drawings. And just know that, you know, that is all the process of grief. And you can get, you know, figure out a lot of things about them, and they will as well, if you allow them to do that and, you know, express it in all sorts of different ways and not just verbally.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do with Circa, the magazine, is to explore all sorts of emotions through creativity. And so you'll see many articles on using creativity for growth and for practical reasons and for preserving family history. We know you write about children for Circa. What topic can our listeners expect from the summer issue?
I think for the summer issue, they should really be on the lookout for an article that I'm really most proud about that I wrote on bullying. Bullying is a it's a worldwide problem that's going on right now, and we're losing children and adolescents to it. You know, where they're dying, you know, they're committing suicide. They're getting all sorts of psychiatric problems. Sometimes it's got lifelong effects. And, you know, people that are, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, they'll come talk to me in therapy and, you know, they talk about things that happened to them in the first grade, you know, where they were bullied by others. And so I think, you know, the bullying article is, I really want people to be aware of what's going on and what that looks like. I do talk about the signs and symptoms of it. It's different in all children, but and adolescents, and you know, it comes out differently. But I really want people to be aware of it and know that bullying is not just a buzzword; that it is actually real, and it is. It's a matter of life and death. It's taking the lives of our beautiful children, and we really need to be aware of this and on guard with it, and really have an open door policy with these kids, so that way they feel safe and secure to go to us grown-ups and really tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, I think you're absolutely right, and I know that you're going to be writing future articles on the hard topics that we have to talk to our children about and giving some practical advice. So the summer issue is now available. It's print on demand. We're already looking at the fall issue. It is so weird to be thinking fall and it's not even, well, it's just the middle of April. Now I know how these retail businesses feel having Christmas stuff up in July. But that's the nature of it. The fall issue, we're going to have a new team member. And Michelle is a military brat and a prolific writer who's going to be writing on a variety of topics, including women in history. And she's going to be writing some things on our virtue section and then also about Moxie and Mojo. So hi, Michelle.
Hi, Cersei.
Hey, I think our listeners know you from some of the other Brat sites. So can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. My father was a Tuskegee Airman, and my mom is 97, still with us, and she was a riveter. So that's a strange combination. I was born in Chicago at the Naval Hospital there. Mm-hmm. And then we deployed to San Antonio. We were actually there twice in Texas. And then we went to Germany, Biloxi, Mississippi. And believe it or not, we left Biloxi in the middle of the summer in the heat, drove all the way to Topsham, Maine. And by the time we got there, the next morning, there was 6 feet of snow. It was banked up so high, we couldn't even get out of the BOQ, the quarters that we were in. So that was kind of a shock. And I think one of the things that brats or military families bring to their experiences is that kind of flexibility, that kind of resilience. Mm-hmm. And how we make the best out of whatever circumstances that we're in. So now I live in Maryland. We actually went back to Texas again, where my dad retired. He was a double dipper, so he worked another 20 years in the Navy. But now I'm a writer. I graduated from Johns Hopkins University in the Master of Arts program in writing. And now I'm involved in the teaching writing program at Johns Hopkins. So I've been a writer really since the fifth grade. We were stationed at Ramstein Air Force Base, had a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Rowell, and she used to read to us every day from the little house in the prairie. And one report card I got from her was that Michelle is going to be a writer. So by the fifth grade, I knew that that was going to be my vocation.
That's really cool. You said to me, or I think you might have told everybody, that you were involved with Donna Musel's movie.
Yes. Uh-huh. Donna Musel is also a brat. She actually spent a lot of time in the Far East. But she made a documentary, it's got to be almost 20 years ago. It's called Brats, Our Journey Home, and they also have a website. And if you've never seen it, never heard anything about it, and you're a brat, you absolutely have to see it. It describes the life of a military brat, the benefits, the things, that, the experiences that we've gone through that are, you know, somewhat difficult, leaving all of our pets, leaving all of our friends, have to acclimate to different places that we've lived, learning different languages and customs. And yet, when brats bind together, the one thing that you'll find that's universal is brats identify with one another. When you find another brat, it's like you have gone home, that you found a fast friend. And I found that anywhere that I've lived. The other organization that I've been involved is called the Overseas Brats. And they have an annual meeting for 2 or 3 days. And I'm pleased to say that this year is going to be in Virginia, which is a stone's throw from where I live in Maryland. So any of you that are in the area that have lived overseas, check out the Overseas Brats program. They're taking registrations now.
So where is it in Virginia?
It's near the airport, near Dulles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Overseas Brats has a website. That's Joe Condrill's organization, and also a great big Facebook group. And so he does like these reunions and all sorts of gatherings. They are a lot of fun. One of the things that I would like to mention that Circa also features is a hand-done comic strip called Feds Up, and it talks about military and civilian workers and their families. It's a comic strip that is drawn by moi. I shouldn't say it's drawn well, but it is drawn. And then also I write a column called Military Mama. So we have some of our brattiness represented in this magazine. So I know many of the topics in Circa are going to be appealing to a wide variety of people. You know, we've talked about spirituality and raising children and multi-generational wisdom, and there are recipes and there's book reviews and movie reviews, and Michelle's going to be writing on virtues and justice and famous women. And so we will not tell anybody anymore about the magazine. They will just have to go buy a copy to check it out. I will say that the graphics are beautiful, but it being Month of the Military Child, that's April, I want to ask some of the brats in the group what life lessons you took from being a brat. So who would like to start? It's absolutely silent. Nobody wants to talk. All right, I'll just pick somebody. Barb.
You want to know what lessons I learned?
Yeah, what life?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing that it taught me to do was to make friends very quickly, with no matter who I met. I could develop a friendship fast, and that turned out good for later life. But that's because we had to change so much, and I lost so many friends, and it just was heartbreaking until I realized, well, this is really an art that not very many people have, because they're so shy. I mean, I've met people who've never gone out of the city that they've lived in. So it's like trying to get them to bloom by making friends with them is a nice thing to do. So that's probably my biggest lesson.
What about you, Michelle? You're on mute.
One of the things that I learned most was tolerance. We had to interact with different races, different generations, different cultures. And especially today when there's so many negative images of just about any kind of special interest group. I think we can be tolerant more so than others because we've had to have that flexibility. And you know, class, race, none of that matters when you're in the military, when you're a brat.
Well, and I think Jenny said it the best when she said that when she writes her column, Sermon from the Couch, and her religion is love. you know, God is love. And she approached, Jenny's the nicest person I know. I'm talking about her because she's on mute. Oh, I guess she can hear me though. But Jenny to me is so lovely and so loving. We should all be like Jenny. So tolerance and love and resilience and friendship, that's kind of what brought us all together to make this magazine. So do you think, and I'll ask Wynn and Natalie and Jenny too, this is an adventure making this magazine. I mean, you know, most people say, well, magazines are on the downslope. They're dying, you know, print media is dying. Why do you feel so important that this magazine is important, and why are you willing to take a risk to start this magazine or write a blog? Any one of you can answer that. Why take a risk and do this?
This is Barbara. I'd like to say one thing. There is nothing on earth like opening a new book or a magazine and smelling the fresh paper smell and holding that book in your hand on those nights when you just need some quiet time and time for your brain to chill down and read. The electronic stuff has just gone so far that I think we're losing touch with the touch and feel of books and magazines and color and pages. Mm-hmm. So to me, the act of reading something you hold in your hand is very, very important.
So Wynn has her hand up. So Wynn, what would you like to say?
Well, I agree definitely with Barb about that feeling of peace that comes from reading. Mm-hmm. What I love about the zine and why I feel like it's important is just the community of voices that we have here. There's such a diversity of experiences. And I love that, you know, we bring each of our diverse and individual voices to the space. And I feel like our voices are voices that aren't being heard necessarily. And so, you know, there's a lot of really loud, brash voices out there. And the quiet, appreciative voices that are looking at, you know, things that are based on values and, you know, what's really important to you, you're not seeing that as much. So, and for me, I think it's an act of bravery just because there's a Swedish proverb, which is going to be what my next blog post is about, in which they say that, to paraphrase, that the bird always finds a way to sing. So if it's in you to write and to be creative, it's going to find its way out. And this zine is a great way to be able to express that in the company of great friends.
Well, that is beautiful. I mean, practically end it right there. Boom. But did anybody else want to say anything? I mean, Wynn, that sums it up for all of us, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that I am just so proud to be associated with something that is so beautiful. All of my co-authors are beautiful, but the product, the Circa zine, is really a beautiful product. I love having it sitting out, and people always comment on how visually appealing it is.
And we have Barb to thank for all the beautiful colors and graphics, but each one of the authors has sent in photographs or done art or, you know, added their own color to the text. So, I mean, I think it is an absolutely beautiful product. It is not cheap, but then quality never is. It's full color printing. Natalie, did you want to add anything or?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you said, you know, why take the risk? And, you know, I never looked at it that way. I took it more as an opportunity to be part of something that is bigger than me, which is really neat. And, you know, Nguyen did sum it up nicely that, you know, it's amazing. We're all from different walks of life and we've all got these very unique backgrounds, and we're showing the world that you can put all those differences and all that diversity and you can turn it into something beautiful and creative and just really amazing.
So anybody else want to add something? Because I have a very impressing question to ask Brett. Oh, Michelle, yes.
Yeah, I think that I'm hoping that the magazine will be interactive, that as readers begin to read it and they're piqued by different experiences, different emotions, that they will get in touch with us and maybe they have a perspective that they would like to share with us as well.
Yeah, we actually have guest writers in each of the issues. We had in this issue, we had a couple of military brats. One wrote on writing prompts and writing as a practice. And then also one wrote about recipes on no mess recipes. So very different. And we do ask, I know we're having a woman who is in Kuwait, going to write something for the fall issue. I think she's in Kuwait. And we have a column called Persephone where people can write in a question, and then all six of us are going to give an answer on how to solve the problem. I think the summer problem was, how do you entertain kids with, you know, during the long summer with them not living on their, you know, their social media, you know. So practical answers from different perspectives, all coming from a place of wisdom and love. And, you know, so we are encouraging feedback. We're encouraging people who get the magazine to email the address and say, hey, here's an idea for something I'd like to see. I would like to be a guest writer. I have a question for Persephone. So yes, we do want to have people get involved and, you know, continue. We want to consider this to be like a salon in a box, you know, like in book form, you know, where people come together and talk, and it's always respectful, not necessarily something everybody always agrees on, but it's really a beautiful, harmonious zine. So Bratz, are you ready for this troublesome question that I'm going to ask you? Ready? Sure. All right. Where are you from, Bratz?
Nowhere.
Barb shaking her head. You've had that enough, huh? So Michelle.
Yeah, I'm from everywhere.
So Michelle's from nowhere and Barb's from everywhere? See, we already don't agree in this zine.
Nowhere in particular.
I interviewed a guy for a podcast a couple weeks ago, and he said home is wherever mom is. So there you have it. All right. Well, we're out of time. This has been a lovely conversation. I'd like to thank all of you for, you know, joining us. We've got people in Virginia and Maryland, New Mexico, Hawaii. So we are working long distance remote via Zoom. I'd like to thank all of you guys for coming and joining me on the podcast. And of course, our listeners need to know that this podcast has been brought to you by, of course, the Museum of the American Military Family and Learning Center. And it has been supported in part by New Mexico Arts, New Mexico Humanities Council, Sandia Area Credit Union, and organizations like Military Brats Seal and Military Brats Registry. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your wisdom.
You're so welcome.
You're welcome. This was fun.
All right. I will see you next week for our meeting. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today.